You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Screen Heroes, your TV and movie podcast on the Heroes Podcast Network. I am your regular host, Derek. I have with me my two lovely co-hosts, Ryan.
Hi.
And Ray.
What's up?
Hi, guys. Good talking to you. We are discussing the new cult classic, Velocipastor, which you can find on Amazon Prime Video right now. Velocipastor and its poster pretty much tell you exactly what it is. But we'll get to that after the break. Before then, though, of course, we will be talking entertainment news. So I've got a bunch of stuff lined up here for us to talk about, but does anybody have something they want to kick off first with? Or should I just run with it?
Run with it.
All right, we'll just run with it then. So let's start with Batwoman. So it was announced a little while ago that Ruby Rose would not be returning in season two of the CW's Batwoman as Kate Kane, the lead character. This, of course, was really surprising to a lot of people. It was a big deal to the Arrowverse since they've never lost a main character like that before. And we were all curious what was going to happen. I think everybody assumed that they were going to put a different actor in the cowl and we would just have a new Kate Kane and they would just recast. This is something that, you know, is very common when an actor passes away in the middle of production. It happened in The Matrix, for example, with the Oracle. And it's a very common thing in soap operas because those shows go on forever and the actors get replaced. So it turns out that they're not going to do that. They are going to go a different route and actually bring in a brand new character to play Batwoman. The character's name is going to be Ryan Wilder. She is, I'm just going to read this quote here to kind of give you some perspective, but she's likable, messy, a little goofy, and untamed. She's also nothing like Kate Kane, the woman who wore the bat suit before her. With no one in her life to keep her on track, Ryan spent years as a drug runner, dodging the GCPD and masking her pain with bad habits. A girl who would steal milk for an alley cat could also kill you with her bare hands. Ryan is the most dangerous type of fighter, highly skilled and wildly undisciplined. An out lesbian, athletic, raw, passionate, fallible, and very much not your stereotypical all-American hero. And that's a Reddit quote from a comicbook.com article. Guys, what is your thoughts on this?
I think that's probably a good idea, to be completely honest. You know, having to get used to a brand new main character in the second season isn't a huge deal. It's a lot better than, you know, seasons five or six. And if she is as likable as her description, then I don't see the problem. But this way, it never takes away from what Ruby Rose did.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be fine, whoever they get to play her. I'm probably still not going to watch the show unless you guys like give it amazing reviews or something. I tried the first season, couldn't get into it, and Ruby Rose is some of that. So I was hoping that they were going to make the girl from Supergirl that had the whole storyline about being LGBTQ. Thought they were going to make her.
Yes. Mara's sister. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to make her Batwoman. I thought that would have been a better choice.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely thought that was a good option for them. But I'm also not super surprised that they don't want to take her away from Supergirl because that relationship has been very important over the seasons. This is a weird situation, and I'm not sure that there's a right or wrong answer. I think recasting would have been just as acceptable because it's still, at the end of the day, it's a business, and mm-hmm. You know, Ruby Rose decided to step away. Maybe if something, you know, really tragic had happened and they wanted to respect her character, that would be a different situation. But that's not the case here. So I think that either way is fine. It's a shame that it's not Kate Kane, just because, first off, we don't really have a lot of representation for the LGBTQ plus community in the superhero genre. We just don't. And for a character that's got her own show, she's the lead on her own show, and while she's not Batman, Batwoman, at least the name has a lot of recognition to it. It's an easy character to wrap your head around. It's a shame that this had to happen to that character, you know, and not somebody else. So, you know, Ryan Wilder would be a completely new character. This would give them a lot of creative freedom, because at that point, there's no comic book canon to lean back on for people to really complain about when they change things up. And the Arrowverse has changed up a lot over the years to give themselves room. And this would just be another example of that, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in other Arrowverse news, before we move on from that, The Flash has some other bad news, which is that they have fired Hartley Sawyer due to his incredibly kind of offensive and inappropriate tweets that he has had over the last 2012 and 2014 were kind of the big years for this. Why don't one of you guys take the lead on this one? I've been talking quite a bit.
But we like when you talk.
Okay.
No, it's good. Yeah, his tweets were in between the years 2012 and 2014, and they ran the gamut of homophobic, misogynistic, and
violence against women.
Yeah.
And is that part of misogyny? I don't know.
It can be. Yeah, definitely. And definitely racist. So there is a language in there that I thought we were all over as a group, but guess not. It's very similar to the James Gunn situation from a couple of years ago, with the exception of Hartley never apologized. James
Gunn, until he got caught.
Exactly, which is saying something. He could have easily also scrubbed his Twitter right after he got the Flash job, and nobody would have known the difference, but he didn't do that either. So it was probably just a matter of time before this all came out. There's quite a few screenshots. If you want to go out there and search it wasn't hard for any of us to find it, but they really are like disgusting and horrifying.
Yeah, horrible. Pretty vile. It's also a shame for fans of the show, because he did a really good job as Ralph Dibny, and his, you know, the storyline coming up was all about him and his wife, which is an interesting storyline from the comic books. So yeah, it's gonna be weird to, you know, see where they go without that. That was pretty much the only interesting post-crisis storyline that they've had, so you know, who knows. But yeah, I mean, obviously the reasons that he got him fired for are more important than the fans you know, enjoying a character.
Yeah, it's definitely a disappointing situation, because the character just seemed so positive and fun. He plays his superhero name is the Elongated Man, and you know, at least for me, it starts to taint that character, you know, previous episodes as well. This is a conversation that could go on, you know, we can have whole episodes about, right? But I'll never be able to really look at this incarnation of that character again if when I go back and watch The Flash or something like that. It's just a shame. And, you know, firing him is the right call. He did bad things, and he, like Ryan said, didn't apologize until it was something that was hurting him. So I don't know if, do we know, are they going to recast the character, or are they just writing him off? Did they answer that yet?
I bet you anything they just write it off. Like, no. There's no need to really recast. It's not the Elongated Man show. He's been on there for 3 seasons, and that's, you know, more than many other superheroes that are just as cool, if not cooler. So I think they can just write him off.
The thing is, though, the character can look like other people. So I'm, you know, it doesn't seem that crazy for them to recast. They decided to go that route, especially with the storyline that they've been setting up. So I don't know. I'd be more along the recast train. At least it's in, you know, it's in line with the character. So
there you go.
I agree with you there. And, you know, it really puts an interesting light on the Arrowverse right now, because if you look back at Crisis on Infinite Earths and the cast that we've lost since then, with, of course, Stephen Amell stepping down as Oliver, and then, you know, we lose Brandon Routh as Ray Palmer, for example, you know.
Heroes, Batwoman, and...
And now this as well. Like, it's four pretty high-profile characters. Yeah, Ray was mainly on Legends of Tomorrow, and that's an ensemble show, but he was one of the primary guys.
People. He was also great on Arrow. I mean, mm-hmm. he wasn't just in Legends. His character was awesome in Arrow.
Mm-hmm. You know, so the Arrowverse has lost, you know, half a dozen or so main characters now. Some of it were story reasons that were being written off. Some were people stepping away, and then, of course, this. So it'll be a very different universe when it comes back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, moving on from that, other news to cover. I guess we can stick with the DC content. Something that's more good to know is HBO Max, of course, has been kind of pitched as a big hub for DC content since Warner Brothers, you know, owns all the DC films. But a lot of those titles will be going away, at least for a limited amount of time. And that includes really high profile films like Wonder Woman.
All the Batman movies.
Mm-hmm.
All of the original Batman movies, the first four Batman movies. Well, not the first four, but the Michael Keaton Batman movies, and then Val Kilmer and George Clooney.
Yeah, those are all going away. Batman v Superman is going away.
Right. Yeah. But the Nolan trilogy is staying, right?
Yeah, I don't think they say anything about that. That's barely a Batman trilogy, so
that's really
another
just,
episode.
It's just two movies, right?
not even, but yeah, basically.
Oh, man. So that's really interesting. Even the Lego Batman movie isn't safe from this. It's leaving as well. These movies are leaving on July 1st. More than anything, this really just sheds a light on the complexity of the licensing agreements for streaming rights, and that digital content is incredibly complicated, and there's contracts that have been in place for years on some of these films. And so if you were going to sign up for HBO Max because you thought it was like the hub for DC content, just be aware of that. There's still going to be some things out there, and Doom Patrol premieres later this month, but there will be some content missing for, I don't even know how long. It doesn't say when they're going to be coming back. So
yay.
Any thoughts or comments on that kind of stuff?
Streaming's complicated, and people buy contracts for like a couple of years, and then somebody else buys it, and like eventually people will own all their own content. I mean, we won't own shit, but the correct streaming services will. So
that is fair. Well, I've got plenty of DVDs, right? So
it's messed up that I still think it's messed up, and Derek and I will argue about this, whatever, but I still think it's messed up that a main part of their advertising was saying that they had all the Batman movies, and then less than a month after launch, they're all going away.
Yeah, you're totally right.
So. No, it's not good. In our private conversation, I had just added that, you know, it's a common streaming problem. Disney was showing off lots of movies that you would again click on to find out that it wasn't available.
But then also you would already be in the app and subscribed. It wasn't part of their advertising. That's why I don't really it's not the same thing.
I don't.
They're both deceptive practices.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem, right? Is that unless you're an insider who can see these contracts, it's really hard to know when you can watch something. You know, there's tons of entertainment blogs that actually put out a list every month of what's leaving Netflix this month. You know, mm-hmm. just to help people know. Because if you're in the middle of watching a show, I mean, it happened to Ray and me. We were watching Buffy, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't on Netflix anymore. You know, that's a frustrating situation. And you would hope that when the production companies have their own streaming platforms, this would be less common. And it hasn't been the case. So it's a frustrating situation, to be sure. It's definitely not something that Warner Brothers needed, since the HBO Max launch was already kind of confusing and convoluted for a lot of people, since there's like three or four flavors of HBO right now. And DC Universe on top of that. So, you know, there's that. But it's informational. If that's important to you, now you know. The final piece of news that I have has to do with actually something that came out today, which is Paramount has decided to cancel, after 31 years, the TV show Cops, which, frankly, I didn't know was still on the air to begin with.
And racist white people are not happy. They are not tired of seeing their cousins on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot to add to it, other than I didn't even know it was still on the air. The actual, I don't know if this is coincidental timing with everything that's been going on.
Yes, it is. It's purposely canceled because of the reputation of Cops. Also, the show has been sued multiple times over the years for wrongful arrest. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely because of the current climate. And fair, I think, enough, that works, you know? The country, the world is not looking at American police force as a collective set of heroes anymore. You know, we're trying to pick out the good ones and weed out the bad ones, and we've got a lot of work to do that. So glorifying them in a very ridiculous white trash TV show, it's time to be done with.
Fair enough.
Call me racist, white trash, whatever, but I used to enjoy that show when I thought cops were good people.
Oh dude, I totally did too. I watched it a lot.
Okay. Well, I mean, makes you feel better.
As a kid, I absolutely watched it. Like I said, I just didn't think it was on the air anymore, mainly because I don't watch cable anymore, right? I haven't watched just normal cable TV in a very long time, so I just didn't know it was around.
No, I would get a kick out of watching white people, like five or six of them with like 10 teeth between all of them, get like tripped up and run and their pants fall down. I would laugh so hard. And you know, for the most part, the cops were good people, so yeah, I watched it a lot.
And also, without cops, we wouldn't have gotten gems like Reno 911. So
it's very true, and that show is amazing.
I love that show. A few other bits of news, if you guys don't have, I mean, want to throw them out there, but Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2 started production.
Woo!
So that's good news. We all loved the first one, so
oh yeah.
Very excited.
The Evil Dead apparently it was going to be another one, which nobody cares about, but yeah,
I care about it. Nobody cares. I care about it.
Like I said, nobody really cares about it, so we need to talk about that. But
it's going
to
be called Evil Dead Now. Wow, Sam Raimi is not directing it, and Bruce Campbell is not going to star in it. However, Sam Raimi did handpick the director, whose name escapes me at the moment.
So Derek basically is saying that everything you liked about the original Evil Dead movies, none of that applies to this movie other than the titles. So
I am really upset that like they didn't set up a main character for us to follow. Ash is so synonymous with the Evil Dead that you really have to hand over the mantle, in my opinion. Also, it's the fucking Evil Dead series, and Evil Dead is incredibly tongue-in-cheek. Like, why didn't they give it a really fun, cheesy title? Like,
yeah, that's a terrible title.
Evil Dead 4, Deader Than Ever, or something like that. Like, just have fun with it.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on what the tone of the film ends up being. The 2013 movie, which was just called Evil Dead, you know, mm-hmm. was a serious take, more in the realm of what the original movie was supposed to be, that, you know,
and
it just
was
didn't come off
really
as
good. It was horrifying. Like, they did a great job. But if this is in the original trilogy's canon and the TV show's canon, then, you know, be gross and cheesy with it.
I mean, they is could, it though? Do we know that it is?
It could follow Pablo and what was he? I don't remember the girl from the show, but yeah. It could follow those two. they're already set up.
From what I understand, and I don't have the article directly in front of me here. I can see if I can pull it up. But from what I understand, they are looking to have – it's basically a reboot of the 2013 one. They want to have a single lead. They want it to be a woman lead. And that's, I think, all we really know right now about the specifics of the movie. I'm actually – here we go. I'm going to
People love the 2013 one so much that we're rebooting it after 7 years.
Well, I think the – sorry, Ray, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, like, hands down, if they told me – if they announced tomorrow that Lucy Lawless was reprising her Ruby character and she was going to be the main character, this, like, sometimes good, sometimes evil demon, I would be first in line at the cinema. Do cinemas do lines? I don't even know. Anyway, that I want to see.
So the director is Lee Cronin. He will be writing and directing it. I guess it doesn't specifically say who is going to what the story is really going to be like. So I guess we don't really know at this point what direction it's going to go. But you know, keep in mind that like the original plans after the 2013 one were to do a sequel to that, a sequel to Army of Darkness, and then have another film that bridged those two universes together. That was the plan. That's why Bruce Campbell has a very small cameo in the post-credit scene of the 2013 Evil Dead. That obviously never happened. They ended up with the TV show and went back to the original timeline and allowed that to go on for 3 seasons. So who knows what the plan is? I do not expect Evil Dead Now to take place in either of those two timelines or universes. I don't. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. I guess we'll have to see.
The only other bit of news that I had was the Bill and Ted trailer that came out today.
Right. Yeah.
Did you watch that?
Yeah. It was cute. I miss those two guys. Just seeing them say, like, be excellent to each other and party on. I was like, oh, what a simpler time when we could.
So... yeah, I mean, for me, it's weird seeing Keanu Reeves without a beard and, like, and like dressed up as his character again. That was, you know, how people are complaining about Alita Battle Angel and the big eyes and how they couldn't watch it because they couldn't get past the big eyes. It's like that for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to watch this movie because it's so weird seeing Keanu like that now.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I guess that was just me. It was really weird to me. I'm sure I'll still see it, but.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily get those vibes. It was cute. I was expecting maybe a little more musical oomph to the trailer. It felt a little flat from that standpoint, but I mean, it was good to see them back as those characters, and the premise seems kind of funny. I like the idea that they never really figured out what the song was. I think that makes sense.
So do you guys think, based on this trailer, that they're going to be like going through a bunch of different like future realities that they created with the original movies to find the song?
That would be a lot of fun.
Cause you see like super muscular in jail versions of them at the end.
Yeah.
So
it explains why they cast, you know, their children. Maybe they don't have them yet, or maybe they're only in a couple futures or something like that.
Right.
I have a theory about that.
Oh, of course you do.
I'm sure this is great. Let's hear it, Dark.
Yeah, let's hear it.
My theory is, yeah, so they will go to different time, you know, different timelines and try and find the song. But I think the reality of it is their children are the ones who will make the song. And the prophecy was just slightly misinterpreted. These guys are, yeah, they will be responsible in some way for that song because it's their children that will be making the song.
And then they can continue the Bill and Ted verse.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And then we can get another 7 movies of the Bill and Ted universe that we don't need.
I mean, I think that's what it's going to be. I'm not saying that that's a good or bad thing, or it will or won't work, but I really think that's what the story will be.
Can we call it the BTCU?
Yes.
Or just BTU. It's actually just a unit of heat measurement.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
Keanu Reeves is definitely a unit of heat.
I definitely prefer his John Wick look to this current look, but whatever. You know, it is what it is. I'll get over it, I'm sure.
Probably.
I hope.
Fair enough. All right, guys, anything else before we change topics?
You remember that one time when we were watching Ash versus Evil Dead and Lucy Lawless first appeared and she was really naked and you paused it and you were like, that's nice. Because I remember.
And Petridge Farm remembers, but it's Lucy Lawless. She's incredible in every way. So
you're like, not ashamed. Don't care.
No, she is badass. She is gorgeous. She is awesome.
Okay, we can talk. Move on.
All right. Fine. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will be discussing The Velocipastor, the 2018 classic, The Velocipastor, when we come back in all its spoiler glory.
Velocipastor.
All right, so we are back to talk The Velocipastor. It's a little confusing because on IMDb it has 2018 next to it, but then it was released in August of 2019. So I guess I don't really know when this movie came out. This film is available on Amazon Prime. It did not have a theatrical release. And its synopsis, I'm just going to read the summary for anybody who may not know what The Velocipastor is. After losing his parents, a priest travels to China, where he inherits a mysterious ability that allows him to turn into a dinosaur. At first horrified by this new power, a hooker convinces him to use it to fight crime and ninjas.
Yep.
So that's the movie.
That pretty much covers it.
It has a 5.2 on IMDb and a staggering 4.5 out of 5 stars on Amazon. So
what about Rotten Tomatoes?
I did not look at Rotten Tomatoes.
That's the only one I care about.
I'm very sorry. So that's the movie. It's short. It's only 75 minutes. It's considered an action adventure comedy. And let's kick things off with the beginning of the film. So the movie more or less opens up at a church where a priest, Doug, is his name, Priest Doug.
No. His name is Doug Jones. Like, yeah. Can we just get that out of the way? His name is fucking Doug Jones.
It's an insult to the creature actor, Doug Jones.
And Doug Jones wasn't even in it.
I know.
Nope.
He should have played the Velociraptor, if you ask me.
It would have been better. So I guess spoiler warning at this point for the Velocipastor. All right. So this movie, I don't know what it's trying to do because it might be smart and it might not be. So early on in the movie, the priest watches his parents die in a blazing car explosion.
It is like the first scene.
And rather than seeing any of this, they cut to a shot of the street with no car that says, you know, like insert visual effects fire. And I thought, because that's the introduction of the movie, that like that was the idea, right? That they're going to be very tongue in cheek and they're really like trying to be smart and highbrow about this. And did either of you get that feeling, or was that me giving them too much credit?
I thought the whole movie was genius, and I'm not even joking about that. So, you know, yeah. Okay. That part was the only part that left me a little like, because it stood out from the rest of the movie, because they had, you know, effects, maybe not VFX, but or like the actual CG or anything like that, but they did have effects in the movie. So yeah, that was the only part that kind of stood out and made me wonder at first. I kind of looked at the person I was watching it with and we were like, is that supposed to be like that? So, but yeah, I mean, my honest opinion is that the movie was incredibly awesome, genius level movie, and I'm pretty sure you guys agree.
Rachel
especially.
I don't know. I can't make up my mind. That scene in Community where Abed struggles to figure out if Nicolas Cage is good or bad is how I feel about this movie. Like, I don't know. there were multiple times where I just had to stop and like reflect on what was happening. So I don't think I'm ever going to make up my mind about this movie.
Did any of the Marvel movies ever make you stop and reflect on what's happening?
No, because
I'd say that this movie is much more of a smart movie than their movie.
Oh my god!
So
that is a wild thesis you have, sir.
No, that is not a thesis. That is a proven fact.
Now, I do think it's important to note that this whole movie was made on $35,000. And I think that's significant. I think it's important to be aware of that. And I like the idea that this is the Nicolas Cage of movies. I do. I like that concept. I mean, the premise itself, I think, is really funny. I really like the general idea, right? So he's a priest, and he's young, and he's really into his faith and everything like that. And then tragedy strikes, and he has to grapple with bad things happening when you're a man of faith, right? And having to deal with having faith in God versus, you know, trying to do something about the physical world. I appreciate
it's a real existential crisis.
It is. It really is.
This movie is much deeper than it seems to be.
And I like that. And I like the idea that he just decides to, you know, take justice into his own hands, to do something, because he feels like he's not accomplishing anything. He's not actually producing any good in the world. So I like that concept. I think the problem is that it's very clunky at the same time. And maybe that's just a budgeting problem. Maybe they just didn't have the resources that they needed to make it a smoother process. So I'm trying to balance the point the movie's trying to make with the clunkiness of the movie to decide which direction to go on this.
What do you mean by the movie is clunky?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of the lines are delivered really awkwardly and really kind of there's clunky lines, right? They're written poorly. They're not natural conversation. Sometimes they're laughable and it's a joke. Other times it's just weird and awkward. And then on top of that, the way the movie is shot, the choreography is really pretty bad throughout most of the fight scenes. The Velociraptor costume, like, I get that they only had $35,000, but that's, I mean, come on.
I'm beginning to think you missed the entire point of the movie. Okay. If I'm being honest.
Okay.
It's a spoof movie. It's not supposed to have lines that are delivered perfectly. It's supposed to be bad acting and low quality effects and bad cinematography. Like, calling it bad is being generous. It is really on purpose bad. All these things that you're mentioning, they did on purpose and with intention. It had nothing to do with the budget.
I understand that a lot of it was intentional.
No, I'm not... all of it was intentional. Okay. That's what it is. Sorry, you can finish your point, but it was all intentional. None of it was meant to be smooth or good.
Right. So if we go with that for a minute, I'm not sure that doing everything as badly as possible is a point. Right, because like,
have you seen Snakes on a Plane?
Yes,
but and you got it in that movie.
Yeah, but that's because some of it was still like enjoyable for me to watch. Like there was still like.
So you enjoyed nothing in this movie?
I enjoyed very little of it. There were certainly times where I laughed. Right, there are certainly jokes that landed well. The car visual effects thing I actually found very funny. There's a great shot in the church where there's the sun's coming in and it creates a giant like flaming X on the cross. And I thought that was very funny. There are definitely moments that are enjoyable when they're in the final fight scene and the ninjas are just kind of like watching. Those types of things are funny to me because they're a little meta and I like meta comedy. I enjoy that type of thing. But I guess my problem with it is that, like, we could go ahead and make a really horrible, terrible movie. That doesn't mean people are going to watch it and have the opinion that you just had, right?
So people are watching this movie. So obviously something is right with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
It has 4.5 out of 5 stars on Amazon.
Uh-huh. It also has a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a gap here. I guess the difference is there are lots of other movies that are just as bad, and this one is okay because they did it on purpose.
Yeah, basically. Same as Snakes on a Plane. They did that on purpose, too. I actually don't like Snakes on a Plane because it seemed intentional that they were trying to specifically make a bad movie. This movie seemed like, I mean, it was intentional, and you know that, but for me, it didn't seem to be an intent. Like, they weren't trying to make a bad movie. Like, it seemed like some kid in his backyard is making a movie, and I don't know, that made it better for me than, like, a larger budget for, like, Snakes on a Plane, for example, and them trying to force a B-movie out of something that, for all intents and purposes, should have not been a B-movie, whereas this was intended to be a B-movie from the beginning with a B-movie budget.
Yeah, I guess my problem with that is they didn't. Do we know that they had the ability to make a better movie? Like, did they just leave?
Well, clearly, I mean, it's incredibly clear in the movie that they could have. There were shots that went on an extra 10 seconds that they could have cut down. Any normal, I'm not an editor, and I can tell you that shot should have been 2 seconds shorter.
No, that's fair. That's not what I'm really talking about, though. Like, the idea of.
Honestly, you're good. Honestly, if having the budget that they had and the story that they have leads me to believe that a lot of the badness was done on purpose, or they were just making the best out of what they had. Like, you know, China is just a backyard Nebraska forest. That's what it is. It's
you're
not
saying, like, they leaned into
I'm saying
they had the budget for,
right? Exactly. Because as soon as they realized that $35,000 wasn't going to get them nearly as far as they thought it was, they could have changed the script. I mean, that's very close to what Clerks was shot on, and Clerks is considered like an indie classic. You know, it's most people consider it a great movie, hands down. So they could have gone the serious route. They could have easily changed it. They knew the budget before they started shooting, but it really does seem like the director had fun with it. He cast his dad as the elder priest and his little brother as that horrible white ninja. So
that's funny.
Like, I really think that the director had a silly idea and no money, so he just leaned into it as much as possible. And I'm definitely okay with people leaning into things.
And they did it effectively, I thought. It didn't feel like it was forced to be a bad movie. It felt like it was a bad movie just for the sake of being a bad movie, because, you know, but it worked for me. And, you know, I thought, so I actually said that this was the best movie I've seen this year.
Oh, wow.
And I think that the actors, the main two, the woman and the dude, the velocipaster and the hooker, if you go by the description.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I think that they are actually good actors, because I don't think a bad actor would do a good job playing a bad actor, because they don't really know what bad acting is if they're a bad actor. I think you have to be at least a decent actor to play a bad actor and be able to recognize what makes a bad actor bad. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys, but they were actually really good at being bad actors. So
I agree. They were really good. And you could tell, because there are some lines that come off wonderfully. There's nothing about this movie that should have been earnest or intelligent, and just some of the things the two of them say throughout do come across that way.
There was one point when they're in the bedroom and they're talking, and the woman says, "I don't know anything about God," and the guy says, "Well, I don't know anything about dinosaurs," and I literally had a spit take.
Yeah, we
just had to process what that line. It was that was a beautiful, genius, like, the timing and everything was just perfect.
We lost our shit for that one too. It was pretty great.
Yeah, my girlfriend that I was watching it with, she laughed for like, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 minutes continuously after that.
Oh, damn.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. I really liked when they're filming the sex scene and the director tried to go for some symbolism there, because like every time it cut to the woman, she was in red because, you know, she's a whore, and every time he cut to the guy, he was in green because he's a dinosaur. Like, right. Clearly,
then, like, I thought for sure this movie would win Derek over when I saw all the montages. I mean, every good movie has a montage.
I don't know about that. Okay. But every movie with a montage is good.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think that's accurate. And this had several montages, including the sex montage.
I didn't say the movie didn't win me over. I'm very on the fence about what it is.
Ooh, sorry.
Okay.
No?
No. I mean, it seems like you just... I don't know. You were very convinced that it wasn't what I was trying to tell you it was. So,
well, I'm not sure it's fair to assume that this group of people could also just make a really good quality movie.
Oh, I never said they could make a good quality movie. I said they could have made a better version of the movie if they weren't specifically leaning into trying to make a bad movie. That was my point. I wasn't saying they could make, you know, an Academy Award winning movie out of Velocipastor.
I didn't mean that either. That's not what I meant. I just mean
I do think the score deserves an Oscar nomination, though.
The score?
Or the soundtrack. Sorry. Soundtrack. I don't know who did the soundtrack, but some of those songs were really great.
Yeah, there were a couple songs that were wonderful.
It's a little on the nose, but I liked that. It fit in this movie.
I'm fine with on-the-nose music. Like, that's how Zach Braff has made his career.
That's true. Good point.
I think maybe some of it for me, some of the hang-ups for me are really centered around the dinosaur and the fact that, like, I think they went too far making it bad.
Okay.
I think it's just, I think it's too much.
It's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, that's what the whole show is, other than the news segment, which includes some facts. I think that, like, there's lots of bad monster movies, right? B-level monster movies out there with, you know, guys in suits and stuff like that. And I think that this just went, like, they went, how can we make the shittiest looking dinosaur possible and then make it worse? And I think that just, that was in contrast to all of, like, the smarter meta stuff that they were doing that I was enjoying.
I think it was just, I took it as just, not that you're going to care, but it to me, it just wanted to bring you back to realize that this is a bad movie and it was meant to be a bad movie. You know, you had some of the meta moments and things that were a little more clever, right? And they had to sprinkle in some stuff that just was stupid and not clever in there to bring you down from it.
I feel like I've really hurt Ryan's feelings by not.
I just don't understand how really you can't understand that. I mean, maybe I just, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but
it's just too low brow for him. He's better than us.
That must be what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yep.
Okay, so getting into the actual movie, and instead of just talking about whatever we were talking about, the China stuff. I mean, that was funny, right? It's China
ridiculous.
In big letters on the screen, and then like 2 seconds later, it's like China, just to like reinforce or in China, and it doesn't look anything like China. But there's ninjas, so that makes it China. So did he like fly to China, and then like fly back? But like, because everything looked like China, and did the ninjas come back to where he was? They follow him.
I
have a lot of questions.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong people.
No. The movie, like the main chunks of the movie take place somewhere not in China, either like northeast kind of coast or something like, because nobody speaks with any like British accents or European accents. It's really just a bunch of white people most of the time. Right. So that's gotta be
an Asian guy in there.
And he did speak in a Chinese dialect.
You mean the head of the ninjas?
Yeah.
But they're not, they've come to this city, right, to take it over. That was the whole premise.
So was the white ninja, was that was in China though? So he went to China.
He went to China. That's where he
and gets, then he gets the arrow through the thing, and then he grabs the I think is a dinosaur claw or a dinosaur tooth. I don't really know. And then turns into the Velocipaster and wakes up back in his church.
Right.
And then all the ninjas come to where he is.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, yep. I guess that makes as much sense as anything else.
I mean, that's what I gathered anyway.
Thought he kept going to, like, walking to China. Hanging out in a place where he could just, like, neighbor China.
I thought the ninjas were, like, a worldwide drug organization. Yeah. I didn't think that,
they were a cocaine smuggling operation of some kind. Right.
I didn't think that the Chinese ninjas were supposed to be the same as the American ninjas. I thought, like, they were just all coordinating. Mm-hmm.
Right, they weren't literally the same people, but they were. It was like the foot.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I interpreted this.
That's what I got from that. The thing that confused me was more towards the end, where I wasn't entirely sure what the head ninja's, like, end goal was. Like, did he
want... He said it.
Maybe I'm forgetting it then. What was it?
He wanted to sell cocaine on the streets.
Yeah.
And then those people would go to rehab programs that are usually done at a church, and then they would find God, and then they'd have to still come back for more cocaine.
Right. Okay. So yeah, so they're a religious organization too.
Right. They're all for God. Everything's that makes for sense. God.
Okay. I got it now. Yeah. So that concept I liked, because our main guy, Dougie here, he turns kind of to the dark side in a way, right?
He murders people.
He embraces the Veloci.
Only bad people, right? He's like Batman.
Well, I mean, he did scratch out the eye of his mentor, but...
Yeah, that wasn't good.
I thought he was going to kill the other guy, too, the guy Rachel likes.
Voltaire,
yeah. I thought he was going to kill Voltaire.
And instead, he's one of the only people to come out alive.
He has, like, nothing happens to him. He's just like, man, you guys really unleashed hell. And that's it. That's the end of his character.
So I didn't think that the hooker was going to, you know, die at the end. And I put that in quotations because, you know, she obviously doesn't. She heals up just fine. I thought they were going to make her pregnant with a Veloci baby.
I did too.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. All right. I'm glad.
I thought when she whispered, like, went to whisper to him, I thought she was going to say, "I'm pregnant," and then she didn't. So that was disappointing. Well,
she had, like, the covering on, and it reminded me of the remake of The Fly.
Oh yeah.
She has that dream, right, where she gives birth to, like, a fly larva. That's like 2 feet or whatever.
right.
Like, that's what it made me think of. So I really thought they were going that route.
I immediately got the Planet Terror vibe when Freddie Rodriguez's character touches Rose McGowan's stomach and it's like, I never miss.
Oh God. Derek hasn't seen that, has he?
No, I haven't.
But okay. He really likes what I just said.
But now you ruined that moment now.
No, it's fine. He's gonna just rub my stomach and say that from now on.
So when I watched that scene with Marcy, my girlfriend that watches all these with me, she said that she laughed because she's like, this isn't even a hospital. They're in, like, a doctor's like a general practitioner's office.
That was a dentist office. Somebody
It was something like that.
Somebody's friend is a dentist.
That's you can do when you have a $30,000 budget. I mean, geez.
We both thought that the doctor was the director of the film for a while because the cameo was so, like,
forced.
Yes. Yeah. And I loved, first of all, no doctor has worn that headpiece in years. Like, they needed that.
To show he was a doctor.
When they didn't have cameras.
And they needed this movie to make sure that we knew he was a doctor.
Right. So it was just hilarious that he walks in with it and it immediately falls and he has to fix it.
And they just keep that take in the movie. Yeah, that's what I mean. They clearly leaned into that this is a bad movie.
They were like, man, it's 7:00. We've done this already 10 times. Let's just go.
Yeah.
Now, is that guy credited as surgeon?
Yeah.
The dude's name is Douglas St. James. That's amazing. So anyway, I actually thought, I'm curious if you guys thought this. Did you think when Father Stewart gets attacked by Doug, did you think he was dead? Because I really thought he was going to die.
Yes.
No, they showed his eye getting pulled out, but they didn't. I mean, you could kind of see like what looked like an eye with like the optic nerve across the screen. So I don't know. I guess he didn't really think he was dead, but I guess he could have been and it would have been fine. So I could see where you would think that.
Okay.
But with every other death, they really made sure to show you that the person was dead.
That's true. That's a good point.
And then they came back to life a scene later. So whatever. That was the other thing my girlfriend said was that the cut across the chest that she got.
Yeah.
She's like, there's a flesh wound. And she's like chopping, like coughing up spittle of blood and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, they hit her heart clearly. Or something.
She's fine.
That's just a flesh wound. She did survive.
She did. Yeah. I figured they were killing her off. Once Father Stewart was fine, I was like, okay, so they're gonna kill her off. Mm-hmm. And
Nope. She's pregnant with the Velocibaby.
God, I hope so.
I don't know why that would have been a great sequel, don't you think?
Can you really do a sequel to this though?
I mean, you'd call it the Velocipastor's Baby.
The director really wants to. He thinks that the world is just fun and ripe for ideas. So
I think that if they do it another one, then they need to do it on an even smaller budget.
Oh, damn.
Like try and do it with $25,000.
Wow.
I think if they like get a studio to back them and they get like a million dollar budget, it'll ruin it.
Oh, I definitely don't want that.
The Velocipastor Jr.
Velocipastor 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I feel like that's easy.
Like, exactly.
You're easy.
He is easy.
He is.
Anyway.
Everything about this movie was cheap. Even like his pastor costume was horrible.
Yeah.
You could see the edges of the collar like fraying and all the loose threads and stuff. And it was like a poncho with like a little collar that wasn't even white.
It was crooked at one point.
It was crooked. Yeah, it was like an off-white, like cream color. Yeah, it was. I mean, there was nothing in this movie that was high budget at all. Dino hands. Oh god! And they didn't even like bother to like tie it down to his skin to make it look like it was a part of him. It just was like flopping loose around the wrist. I mean, come on, that was great.
I will say that the poster for the movie is actually quite good.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it kind of doesn't really set expectations in a fair way though.
That's true. That's very fair.
See, like when we did The Man Who Killed Hitler and then Killed Bigfoot or whatever that one was called.
The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot.
Yeah. The poster for that was great, but I thought it was very in tone with the movie and you kind of got from the poster what you got from the movie.
That's true.
So this movie was not the poster looks pretty high budget, like video game artwork. Mm-hmm. And the movie was not that at all. Still good, but not what the poster gave us.
Now I will say this. I'd like to find I didn't really look very hard, but I'd like to find way back in 2011, he made the Velocipastor trailer, which was a video short that ended up turning into this movie. So that means this movie was like for like almost a decade in the making.
This is this guy's like dream project.
It's kind of like Kung Fury. That's the same story with Kung Fury. They made a short video and then did a Kickstarter for it and they raised a ton of money and then made Kung Fury and it was Netflix bought it out or something along those lines.
It ended up being amazing. Kung Fury.
I am all about that. It's very short though. That's the only
thing.
That's
fine.
It's like 45 minutes or less. But I love Kung Fury. I watched it. I wasn't a backer, but I followed the Kickstarter and yeah, you guys would love it. I have zero doubts in my head. So that should definitely get added to the list. Maybe we can do like another short movie and just review them both on one episode.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, we could do that. All right. So anyway, the Velocipastor. So it just kind of wraps up nicely. It's over.
So all the scenes, like, in the ninja camps, there's, like, they have two ninjas, like, just doing the same kick.
Yep.
The whole time. And it's a bad kick. It's not good.
It's so bad.
And then they're like, in the next one, they're punching. And this is all clearly filmed in, like, somebody's backyard with, like, fake tents.
They were straining. Like, they didn't practice beforehand. And the director was like, keep going.
But the end choreography of the fight, I actually thought was better than a lot of the choreography in Mortal Kombat, which we just reviewed.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this one was choreographed to be intentionally bad, and it was still better than some of the choreography in a movie where it wasn't choreographed to be intentionally bad.
That makes sense.
That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think that the main two actors for this are very good. I hope that they get some more work, because I'd really like to see them in a serious role after this. I thought they were really good at being bad in this, and so I'd like to see them given a chance to try some other things instead of, like, I hope they don't get pigeonholed or that this is their only job.
Right.
Fair enough. I mean,
so the white ninja was a little over the top, but
yeah. I mean, they've done some other stuff.
Have they?
Yeah. I mean, she's been acting for the last 10 years. Wow. So she's been in a few different things, lots of TVs and shorts. Trying to look for, see if there's anything that I would actually recognize, but
it's good that she's getting work.
You know, she did, there's a TV series short called Sadie that she did. I don't know. So she's definitely done some stuff. Nothing like super high profile. And then our buddy Doug, a little bit less. He started, it looks like, in 2014. So there you go.
He needs to get that thing removed above his eye because it bothered me the whole time, but...
Yes! Other than thank that, you!
Because he kept, like, zooming in on it. The scene, I think it was the scene at the very beginning, which this scene really confused me too, but in a good way, when he's talking to the other pastor guy, like, yes, on a bench or on a pew or whatever, and then it's got, like, their faces on either side facing the camera saying the same line that they're saying while they're facing each other. I did not understand that scene. Maybe I'm not smart enough, or maybe I'm not dumb enough for it. But either way, it was so good. And then they, like, zoomed in on his face, and, like, you got closer and closer to that thing on his forehead. And, yeah, it was a little unnerving.
But. My doctor removes lesions like those every day. It would have taken us less than half an hour. It would have been
maybe
fine.
He thinks it gives his face character.
Maybe. I don't know. Can we talk about the older... priest and his Vietnam War.
Oh my god.
Oh, right.
It's clearly in the same backyard.
Right. The fact that they just threw a shitty Party City blonde wig on him.
And like a weird Vietnam suit that's just like camo jumpsuit. Yeah.
And I love that the woman was his actual wife. Like, that's the director's mom. And
oh my god, I lost it when she just exploded.
I did too. He is covered in all that blood.
And the other dude's like, I don't think she's going to make it. Or I don't think there's anything we can do for her. You think, buddy? It's literally just like blood everywhere. It reminded
everywhere.
Me of Duke Nukem. There was this one weapon you could get in Duke Nukem 3D that when you shot guys with it, they just exploded into a little tiny spurt of blood. That their body just disintegrated and there was just like a little spurt of blood. That reminded me of that. But yes, it was. It also reminded me of Sam Raimi and his blood effect,
for sure.
His over the top blood effects.
Or Peter Jackson's Dead Alive. How bloody and gory that was.
Yeah.
The lawnmower scene at dinner.
I do not like that movie.
That's fair.
Maybe you don't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I get it. I just don't like it.
Yeah, it was a little weird that, like, she just showed up in the middle of the battlefield.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, leftover trip mine, like, 2 feet away from where we were standing, and we probably walked by it, like, 30 times.
Like, does that happen? Can your wives and spouses just go to war with you and be brought to the same battlefield and
but they,
you know,
just run in at a point of like real emotional impact and get blown
right
up. Yeah,
I mean, I don't think she had anybody's permission to be there. I think she just went.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
That's not like, I don't think she asked anybody. I think
that's
she just,
it is weird that Vietnam sense. Looks like, exactly like China,
which also looks
exactly
like
wherever their church was. I'm guessing America somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
I don't know that I have anything else to add at this point.
No, I just really wanted to talk about that scene because it came out of nowhere. Like, that character had no reason for development, and instead they were like, no, let's shove in this backstory for no reason. And it was awesome.
What about the scene with the white ninja where he's just like starts laughing, and then the leader of the Coke gang ninjas start like laughs a little bit, and then the other guy just starts laughing in a totally different type of laugh?
It was insane. Like, that part made me very uncomfortable.
It was so uncomfortable because he doesn't look happy when he's laughing. He looks like stoic but laughing, and it's like his pitch changes every time. It's a different type of laughter. Yeah.
Now, his brother ninja was probably my least favorite character.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care for him.
Okay. I hated that pimp from the beginning because he was supposed to be extra evil, but he was just annoying, and he reminded me of Danny McBride
Frankie
much.
Frankie Dolphins or something like that? Frankie Mermaids,
because he's swimming in bitches.
That's right. Oh, I laughed pretty hard at that part.
Honestly. Oh, the name is hilarious.
I know it's super, super sexist, but I laughed at that.
No, the name is hilarious, and when he gets her to just like mumble it, like that's even better. But,
and he has a skullet. Like, that was perfect. So he took
but
off
the
his
other
hat.
Stuff, like, he's yelling and the things he's saying in the actual, like, confessional. Like,
I thought that was hilarious. Annoying. He's like, well, I took candy from a baby, and then I threw the baby into a river. It's like, oh my God, dude. Come on. They just wanted to make it clear that this guy is a bad guy, so that when
the guy
killed
that
him,
he's not just like a pimp with a heart of gold, that he's like a real bastard.
Right, he's a real piece of shit.
Yep.
Yeah, then you get that by telling the audience that he threw a baby into a river.
I did think that,
and then murdering his parents, you know, for no reason.
So when he goes in for confession, I really thought that was going to go a slightly different route.
I did too. I wasn't expecting him to die like right through the window.
Well, I thought that he like was going to, I thought that Frankie Mermaid was specifically going to mess with Doug. Right? Like, really? That he knew that he killed his parents.
Okay.
Oh.
So you thought it was like the guy that killed Batman's parents. Or Joker, if you're watching the original Batman movie.
I just thought that he like was just gonna go mess with him, and like he knew that this was the kid or whatever, but it obviously didn't go that route, so you know.
Yeah, I didn't think it was gonna go that route, but I mean, it would have, maybe in a better version of this movie they probably would have gone that route, like if there's an actual studio version of this movie, the Snyder cut, maybe.
It's the David Ayer cut. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry, my mistake.
Okay, well, we are basically at our hour mark here. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we wrap things up for the week?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Cool. All right. Well, then that's going to be it for us this week. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we are actually going to be doing a retrospective on one of my childhood favorite films, Small Soldiers. Which I'm really excited.
Is that on
about.
Any streaming service that people can check it out?
Stars.
It's on Stars.
It's on Stars.
So if you need another way to acquire it without Stars, just hit me up at Twitter at RA24 and I'll instruct
you
on how.
Part
to...
of this.
No.
This is not endorsed by Heroes Podcast Network.
They sell DVDs and
exactly.
They,
that's where I was going to recommend people. Derek.
I actually have it on VHS around here somewhere. I'm not even kidding. Like right over there. And we can watch that version of it. So that's what we're going to be doing next week. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at Screen Heroes Pod or heroespodcast.com. We're on all the major streaming platforms for podcasts and whatever app that you like to use there. Ray, where can people find you if they would like to talk to you about things?
Yeah, I am at Will Not Be Watching a VHS on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You joke, but that's probably a handle.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's at Siren Ray.
Whoever that handle is now going to get a huge influx of followers from watching
huge.
Our podcast.
You're welcome.
Thousands of followers.
Yep.
Thousands.
Ryan, what about you?
At Buster Props or at RA24 if you want to hit me on my personal one, which I prefer you don't, but you know, whatever.
But there it is if you want to.
Yeah.
I suggest everybody send him really long messages about nothing.
And I'm shutting down my Twitter.
All right. And I am, of course, at the Star Trek Dude. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget you can join us live Tuesday nights in our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/screenheroes. Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, live. Come chat with us during the show. Otherwise, we'll catch you next time. Have a good night, everybody.
Woo. Bye.